This morning we open the Word of God both in the Old and in the New Testament. We first turn to the prophecies of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 11, page 949 in our Pew Bible, 949. Isaiah or Zechariah 11, verse 4 through 17. Page 949. Zechariah 11, beginning at verse 4, where we hear our Lord God speak. Thus said the Lord my God, become shepherd of the flock doomed to slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them and go unpunished. And those who sell them say, blessed be the Lord, I have become rich, and their own shepherds have no pity on them. For I will no longer have pity on the inhabitants of this land, declares the Lord. Behold, I will cause each of them to fall into the hand of his neighbor, and each into the hand of his king, and they shall crush the land, and I will deliver none from their hand. So I became the shepherd of the flock doomed to be slaughtered by the sheep traders. And I took two staffs. One I named Favor, the other I named Union. And I tended the sheep. In 1 month I destroyed the three shepherds. But I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. So I said, I will not be your shepherd. What is to die, let it die. What is to be destroyed, let it be destroyed, and let those who are left devour the flesh of one another. And I took my staff Favor, and I broke it, annulling the covenant that I had made with all the peoples. So it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems good to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. And they weighed out as my wages 30 pieces of silver. Then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was prized by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. Then I broke my second staff, Union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. Then the Lord said to me, take once more the equipment of a foolish shepherd. For behold, I am raising up in the land a shepherd who does not care for those being destroyed or seek the young or heal the maimed or nourish the healthy, but devours the flesh of the fat ones, tearing off even their hoofs. Woe to my worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May the sword strike his arm and his right eye, let his arm be wholly withered, his right eye utterly blinded. We now continue in chapter 13, verse 7. Next page, 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, and 1/3 shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. We now turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26, page 989. Matthew 26, verse 30 to 35, and our focal point will be the verses 31 and 32. Matthew 26, verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if there ever was a situation, brothers and sisters, of which we are inclined to say, why did it have to go this way? Then it was the series of events that brought the life of the Lord Jesus to such a tragic end. No wonder the postmodern man of the 21st century concludes, it doesn't make sense. This cannot be right. Yes, this is perhaps the most difficult aspect of the Christian faith for them. The suffering in the world, the misery of mankind, and the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that according to the counsel and will of God. Judging situations as they do with their feelings, they show anger, they feel paralyzed, and they are upset that this could be essential in the gospel of the salvation of the world. And who would blame them? Do we not feel a similar inclination and reaction to the course of events? Is it not sad? Is it not painful indeed, upsetting, and yes, also very unfair? Or so it seems. Oh, sure, we know the story so well. We are used to it, and we may have learned to accept it. But if you hear and read how this account comes across to the man of the 21st century, you can understand their feelings. And still, beloved, this reaction is not new. Doesn't the Apostle Paul write in his epistle to the Corinthians, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Humanly speaking, we cannot accept the course of Jesus' suffering and death. It is offensive, and it seems foolish indeed. Yet we may see the power of God and the wisdom of God as he reveals to us the way of salvation, the secret plan and will of our redemption. It had to go this way. For that's how he wanted to redeem us. It also has gone the way he revealed it to us, the way it was prophesied. Zechariah, beloved, is one of those prophets who in different places foretold the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 9, verse 9, for instance, Zechariah prophesies that he would come riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In our scripture passage, we heard him prophesy that the shepherd of Israel would be worth 30 pieces of silver, which were thrown into the house of the Lord to the potter. In chapter 12, verse 10, we find a prophecy about a mourning for him whom they have pierced. The prophecy of Jesus' death on the cross. Then this morning we find in our text the prophecy of the shepherd who would be struck so that the sheep would be scattered. Hence I proclaim the good shepherd prophesies his flock the way through death to life. We see, first of all, the isolation of the shepherd, secondly, the dispersion of the flock, and thirdly, the reunion of both. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. The good shepherd prophesies his flock the way through death to life. We see the isolation of the shepherd, the dispersion of the flock, and the reunion of both. So first of all, the isolation of the shepherd. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd. Then, brothers and sisters, that may sound like just an indication of time, yet Matthew does more. He emphasizes the moment at which Jesus prophesied that all would fall away from him. He prophesied the then. Right after their departure from their Passover celebration, at which he had instituted the Lord's Supper, and they had sung the closing hymn to this celebration, then. Then they went on their way into the dark night, and at that time the Lord Jesus told them that what he had told them about his suffering and death would take place that very night. He's spoken about it often, yet now the time has come. The shepherd will be struck. That must have been quite a moment for the Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters. He is the good shepherd who loves his sheep. At this time, the sheep he has around him are the remaining 11 disciples. He had called them to be trained and equipped to become his disciples, his apostles, his future leaders of his flock. They were closest to his heart, since he had called them to take them along on his way to his kingdom, as ambassadors to be in that kingdom. Eventually, they would have to become the foundation of the church. They had been with him for the past 3 years, sharing with him the good days and the bad, the beautiful and the sorrowful moments, introducing them this way to what lies ahead of them in his work through them. There was a very personal bond with them, as he had also expressed it just now in the hall of the Passover. I quote Luke 22, verse 28. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. They knew his plans, anticipated his future, but how? Indeed, beloved, he is the good shepherd who also presented himself that way to God's people Israel. Not only in words, but also in deeds, he showed the peoples his love for them, his deep compassion. He pitied them as sheep that did not have a shepherd, who were unhappy, tired and weary. He had told them that he would give his life for them, for his sheep. He wanted to care for them, protect them, and preserve them from the attacks of the evil one and from those who would come in and steal them, rob them for themselves. He had gone after them, even after one lost sheep here and one straying lamb there. Yes, what joy he had expressed at finding them. Also, what sorrow he had expressed at their stubbornness. Of the children of Jerusalem, how much would I have wanted to gather you, like a hen her chicks, yet you did not want to. He had to let go of them. They had all left him. And now he had to say the same about his disciples. I will strike the shepherd. The good shepherd, beloved, gives his life for the sheep. And indeed, in this very night, his life will be taken from him, but they will all fall away. It started already when they had come in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they had left him as he was wrestling in prayer and they had fallen asleep. Yes, all three gospel accounts stress the fact emphatically. They had all fled from him in the night. Peter's denial is just a detailed story of one of them, as the story of one who spoke the loudest that he would defend and protect him and fight for him. Yet in the end, it is mentioned that all the other disciples were of the same opinion and of the same mind and intention. When the high priest, however, came with his escorts of soldiers and elders and others, including Judas, who betrayed him, they all left him. And Jesus himself even pleaded for a free passage for them. Some good shepherd indeed. The good shepherd, beloved, was struck where it hurt him the most, in his sheep. The arrest may have been hard, and the mocking, the injustice, the unjust sentence and its execution, yet this moment at which the last sheep leave him, that's what made his suffering so heavy, so much worse. It was part of the process of isolation, which ended up in the total forsakenness by God the Father himself. It's part and parcel of the process of his descending into hell. The communion of saints isn't functioning any longer, which is a bitter disappointment for the minister of the flock. And as he continues his work in increasing isolation, he knows that he will have to die for them, obtain them by his death, and pay for them with his life, in order that he could restore them to life in the days to come, leading them to a newness of life which they will have in him. Indeed, beloved, this is what the Lord told them before he continued on the road. He prepared his disciples for the way he had to go, for them, yet without them. When he quoted to them the prophecy of Zechariah, he places their falling away, their denial and unfaithfulness in the light of God's word in Zechariah 13, verse 7. The Lord Jesus himself knew that it would have to go this way and saw it happening that way. There are many prophecies against the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of God's people, wicked kings, corrupt priests, and false prophets. In those prophecies, the anger of the Lord was expressed What will become of his people? They will be scattered like sheep without shepherd. They will be wounded, weakened, and robbed, ending up in the hands of their enemies, of wicked men. Yes, then the Lord's anger against these leaders, these unfaithful shepherds, is so severe that he turns in anger also against this one good shepherd, the man with whom he was close, so that he will die also. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. It's this anger that now turns against this shepherd, the good one, Jesus, the servant of the Lord. Beloved, all this the Lord Jesus took upon himself. Not only here in the prophecy of Zechariah, but also in Isaiah 53, verse 6, and elsewhere, the reality came down on him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took it upon himself. This miserable flock, this failing congregation, the unfaithful office bearers, the corrupt world leaders, and the anger of God over it all. And he did so all alone, in total isolation, more and more forsaken by men and by God ultimately. He tells his disciples beforehand that this is what's going to happen, that this is the meaning of it all, fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. I have to bear it, he says. And by his reference to Zechariah 13, verse 7, indicating that he, it is, my shepherd who stands next to me. Yet with it, he indicates as well that his isolation will ultimately be for the good of the sheep. He bears the punishment, the disillusionment, and the disappointment over all sheep, over church and world, and over leaders and common people. Yes, over us also, and over those in whom we are disappointed, over you and me. He bore them all in his shepherd's heart, and he suffers it all in his shepherd's life, and as the shepherd who is willing to lay down his life for his flock. He sheds his blood for them, as he had just before pronounced when he instituted the Lord's Supper and said that it would be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We come to our second point, the dispersion of the flock. They all fell away, beloved, all his sheep. No, that did not mean that they would not love him any longer, or that they became his enemies from now on. They couldn't see it any longer, and they did not understand him anymore. Hence, they take their distance from him. They came along with him on the way he had traveled, and they had listened to the plans he disclosed, and they had heard him tell what was coming to a point. But now, no, they could not come along with him on the way he went and in the way he was leading them. His sheep left from following him. Initially, they may have thought that they should fight for him, and they said they would. They even had two swords available to them, and one of them flashed it back and forth to defend him, even cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. The Lord Jesus, however, told them to put the swords away and healed the ear of the servant, indicating that he wants to go along with the gang, continuing on his way of suffering. That's when they leave him. Although all the disciples had agreed with Peter, brothers and sisters, that they would not disown him, fall away from him, but die with him, yet they all did fall away. Isn't that a humbling reality, beloved? When you think of yourselves or of others today, we know the various attitudes so well. Oh yes, so-and-so is so weak, but I won't let go of him. I stand for it, and you can count on me. Let me tell you how it is and how it must go. And when we say it, we mean it so well. Yet how greatly we overestimate ourselves. We know ourselves so poorly, and before you know it, you find yourself standing alone in the church today as well. No one stayed with Jesus, none of all who had followed him. It could happen today as well, quite easily and very likely. You know, and it's not for lack of forewarnings or for lack of instructions. The Lord Jesus, too, spoke about his suffering and death frequently. Right away, a man like Peter had opposed him about it and spoken strong language contrary to it. Yet they never truly accepted his indications and warnings. They just let it go in the one ear and out the other, just as it happens today. Selective hearing, we call that. What we don't like or don't want to hear, we ignore or block out. Yes, and even though he now once again instructs his disciples, quoting the prophet, when they will be reminded of it a few days later, after his resurrection, they appear to have forgotten his word already. You see, beloved, that's why I mentioned it in my introduction already. We don't want the reality of the way of redemption. We want to ignore the truth about the way of suffering and death. We resist the necessity of suffering and dying as the way of salvation. Also, the opposition to the gospel of Jesus' suffering and death is so common. Was that really necessary? This isolation of the Christ and the scattering of the flock? Was there really nothing good left among the flock of sheep that was following him till that moment? It's like resisting the truth and reality today of the idea that we aren't all that good people after all, and not really as perfect a flock as we believe we are. Yet what happened to the disciples is what is inherent in man. As also the Apostle Paul highlights in Romans 3, no one is righteous. No, not one. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. And yet, it had to go that way. He wanted it to go that way. He did it all alone, and all as a good shepherd. He saw them go, he let them go for him to be killed, yet also in order that he would be reunited with them and lead them again in 3 days. Our third point, the reunion of shepherd and flock. Remember, my brother and sister, all this misery, suffering, and death, it is a stumbling block for the Jew and foolishness for the Greek and for the man of the 21st century. Yet, it is the way to a goal. It has a purpose for good. It is God's wisdom. When the good shepherd has gone through suffering and death, he rises from the dead. He told them this beforehand as well. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. That's a sign of encouragement at this time. Yes, the sign itself reveals to them that he will be the good shepherd again. The shepherd will lead his flock again by going ahead of them. He will gather them and they will come together again. That's what he emphasizes at this time. I will remain the good shepherd through death to life. He will be going ahead of them to Galilee, beloved. And that's a safe place for them. Away from all the hostility and enmity they are seeing at this very moment. He will lead them to familiar territory, to the place where he called them, where they grew up and worked before their calling, to the place also where he instructed them regarding the way of life in his kingdom, in the Sermon on the Mount and otherwise. It will be just as before, it sounds, as if nothing happened. Yes, then he will also further equip them and train them as his servant shepherds, who will have to go in his steps, dealing with wolves in sheep's clothing, with false leaders and with unfaithful sheep. He will send them out among the people of Israel and into the world, seeking other sheep that are not of this flock. Yes, that means that he will send them out to us, to call us, and to bring us into the fold. Also stubborn people, also failing leaders, and also straying sheep. It will be one flock and one shepherd. After I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee, beloved. That sounds like a password he is giving them for the time to come, soon. He doesn't let them go, though, with reproach or with resentment over what they are doing to him. Rather, this password into Galilee is like a signal of forgiveness, a sign of determination. I have to go through this, but I will prevail. See you there in Galilee. I know what I am doing, and it will be all right. Just as he had said it at every announcement of his suffering, and on the third day, I will rise. Hence, we hear the angel remind the disciples of this password, Matthew 28, verse 7, via the women, saying, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." That's when they remember and go and are reunited as flock with their shepherd. Beforehand, he had prayed for them that their faith would not fail, and now he moves them by his word and spirit to heed his word, obey in faith, and be reunited with him, their Savior. This is the good shepherd, beloved, of you and me also. He is our surety who bailed us out. He is our mediator who suffered and died in our place and for us. He is the suffering servant of the prophetic accounts. You can trust his word and believe his promises, for he keeps them, he fulfills them. Follow him and you are safe. Accept his leadership, even if he leads us through the valleys of the shadows of death. And don't be offended even too quickly by what happens on the way, or upset over so much foolishness as it seems in his plans. He is the good shepherd who is leading you through suffering to glory. Amen. Let us together turn to number 525. Savior, like a shepherd lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. 525, all stanzas, is our song of response.